As we come to our scripture today, let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for your truth, your word. Lord, we thank you for your spirit who speaks through us, speaks to us through your word. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in this time that we have today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue on through the book of Exodus, and last week we did a number of chapters and we looked at God's specifications for his big building project, for building the tabernacle and everything that was supposed to go inside the tabernacle. And now it's time to build it. So they have to hire a general contractor and get some subcontractors and get things going. And I'm just going to dig right into the passage here. And this is Exodus chapter 31. Beginning with verse 1, it says this: Then the Lord said to Moses, See, I have chosen Bezaleel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings, and all the utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you. So as you see this, God doesn't leave any detail uncovered. God has specific instructions, and he sets people up to accomplish the job. He gives people gifts and abilities. And before we talk about specific spiritual gifts, I want to talk to you about just abilities that God gives to us. Abilities that we have innately and that we're born with, and different people have different gifts, and you see it in families. I know in my family, my brother is an incredibly gifted craftsman. You give him a hammer and nails, a saw, a drill, he makes things happen. And it comes out good. It looks good. Me? Not so much with that stuff. And we did renovations on our house as we were moving in to build out a room that for my parents. And my brother was the master craftsman, and I was the grunt work guy. He gave me the little jobs to do that I couldn't totally destroy the house with. He had me crawling up in the crawl space to put in insulation and, getting all that insulation all over you sticky and didn't feel good, but it was a good thing because he did the finish work, the fine work, the good work. He had that gift. We see people in this passage that have these abilities. And not everyone has those abilities. I would like to have more of those abilities. I'm working on it. And then you have people who have musical abilities. And you see that in our church. I see Mark over here, and I've mentioned this before, that I can come up to him before the service, and he's practicing and working on his music, and I'll start talking to him, and he'll keep playing the piano and talk to me. That is ridiculous. It is. And Jeff, I'm talking to Jeff a couple weeks ago, and he said, well, I don't really read music. I can just hear it and pick out a tune. You guys are both nuts, okay? And I mean that in a good way, because I can't even fathom that. But I'm thankful that God gives some people those gifts. And we have a lot of people with those kind of gifts. We have people with artistic gifts in our church, people that can paint and draw and can use needle and thread and yarn and anything else to do things. God gives these abilities. And you see it start in a person very early in their life. You can see that they have an aptitude for things. I've seen it in my kids growing up. You know, Bella has this thing that she likes to spend time with babies. And she likes to hang out with them, and she loves it when she gets called to babysit. And I can't even fathom that. I mean, I love kids, I love babies, but I like it when they get a little bigger and you can talk to them and they can run around and do things like that. But she has this thing in her. And one of the things we noticed in Caleb right from the start He has this athletic bent, and we used to have to turn his high chair around facing away from our table because he would roll the bread up into a ball and start chucking it. And in order for us to eat and not get pelted, we had to turn it around. And just from 2 years old, he would see a ball and you would hear, ball, ball, ball. He just couldn't stop saying it. And that served him well over the last few years. He struck out 82 batters in 31 innings, but I'm not counting. He had a great spring season. And then you have other people who, if you go to a party or an event, they'll be in the middle of the room. And they'll be talking to a large group around them, and they'll shake someone's hand here, and they'll talk to the person over here, and they'll work their way through the middle of the room. And then you have in the corners of the room the normal people who have their backs against the wall where no one can sneak up on them, right? And they're talking to one person at a time because that makes perfect sense, right? But thankful that there are people who have these extroverted tendencies, and that's how God made you. Didn't make me that way, all right? But God gives us all these different abilities. And on top of that, he gives us spiritual gifts. For those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have spiritual gifts. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have at least one spiritual gift. And we read about this man here, Bezalel, who it says God filled him with his spirit so that he could do all this craftsmanship. He was the master builder. And the other guys, Aholiab and the other craftsmen, those were kind of the subcontractors working for him. But God gave this man a spiritual gift. I bet you never thought of craftsmanship as a spiritual gift. It is. It says it right here. He has this gift. But I want you to see a few things about spiritual gifts here, and this relates to us. I want you to see the first thing. In verse 2, God says, "See, I have chosen Bezalel." And in verse 3, it says, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts." God chooses the gift, right? God gets to decide who gets what gift. And you might want a gift, and it's okay to ask for a gift. In the Bible, it says, desire the greater gifts. You can ask for a gift, but you might not get it. God gives certain people certain gifts, and when you get that gift, be thankful for that gift and use that gift. But different people get different gifts, and we shouldn't say, "Oh, I want that one, I want this one." Well, what has God given you? So God gives this man a specific gift to accomplish this purpose. He doesn't give the gift to Moses. Moses has different gifts. And as we read on, as we think about this, I want you to think about this. This spiritual gift that's been given, this should be used to honor God. I mean, I imagine that this guy could probably go out and make a lot of money in the community doing work projects, doing maintenance projects all over Israel. Well, they're not in Israel yet, but all throughout the people of Israel. But he is to use this gift to honor God. Not to say you can't use your spiritual gift, you know, to accomplish other things, but the spiritual gift is primarily to honor God. Here's another thing I want you to see. If God has called you to serve in a certain ministry, he will also gift you in that ministry. There's a famous saying, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He takes people, he puts them in ministry, and he calls them and he says, "I'm going to give you this gift." And sometimes you got to step out in faith, and sometimes you're not too sure if it is your gift. But God will come through. And I want to share a story with you. A number of years back, before Mark was here, we were in between worship leaders. We didn't have a worship leader. And I was praying all the time for a worship leader. And it was a struggle. And we were kind of piecing things together. And I remember one day I was walking through the sanctuary here. And we used to have the piano up here. And I said, "You know what? I'm going to learn to play the piano. I'll lead the worship. I'll do it. Can't be that hard, right? You know? I came over to it. And I started to just kind of do some things, right? Turn that up a little bit, all right? It sounds nice. See, I can do this. That's it. I got it, right? Great idea, huh? Every Sunday, one note at a time, we will sing Amazing Grace. And the thing is, probably the dumbest idea I have ever had. And the Lord convicted me of it fairly quickly because that's not my calling. It's not my gift. I have no rhythm. Okay? I can't do this. Right? Moses and Joshua didn't build the tabernacle. That wasn't their gift. That wasn't their calling. So here's what happens in church sometimes. Is there's an opening in a position or a role in the church that needs to be filled. And sometimes you have certain people in the church that are really eager and they'll just say, I'll do it. They'll do anything you ask them to do. I'll do it. But the question is, do you have that specific gift? Sometimes it's better to leave that position open until somebody with the gift steps up. Maybe that person with the gift's a little bit shy about it. Maybe they're a little bit nervous about stepping forward. You got to fill the position with the gift, because if not, it's just people doing it. It's not God doing it. It's not God's Spirit working in a person. If Joshua just stepped up and said, Moses, all right, I'll build the tabernacle. I'll do it. No, Joshua's the guy who's face-to-face with the Lord in the tent. Joshua's the guy who's going to lead the people when the next generation goes into the promised land. That's his role. And that wouldn't have been so good if Joshua were building that tabernacle. That's my guess. He didn't have that gift. But God gives a specific person and specific people that gift to step up in that position. So it's a good reminder to us. We're not just filling spots here. Oh, we got to fill this spot. We got to fill that spot. We got to seek the Lord and see who God has equipped and who God has called and who God has gifted to accomplish certain things. We have to think about that. Some other things to think about with spiritual gifts. One thing is to be thankful. Just be thankful that God has given you the gift. Don't be proud of your gift. It's not you. You didn't do it. Be thankful that you have been given this gift. And put the gift to good use. Paul writes to Timothy to fan into flame his gift. What does that mean? It means you can develop your gift. Right? It says don't quench the Spirit in other places. You can quench your gift. You can also develop it. You can also grow in your gift, this gift that you have. You know, I was thinking about this in terms of ministry and in terms of my ministry. I know that God called me to ministry, to pastor, to preach. And I remember I was nervous about this. I was nervous about speaking in front of people. And I still remember the first time I got up to preach, and it wasn't here, it was in a previous church, and I remember saying, Lord, I can't do this. You have to do this. That is one of the greatest moments of your life when you do that. Lord, I can't do this. You do it. That is where God wants us to be. When I am weak, then I am strong. We have to do that. But how do we develop our gift? We develop our gift by using it, by putting it into practice. I'll tell you, when I first started here, the first 3 to 6 months, I'm going to tell you what was going on in my head. On Friday nights, I would wake up in the middle of the night, I would have trouble sleeping because I knew Sunday was coming. Saturday night was not any better. And then I would come and I would be a little stressed out, I would preach, and Sunday afternoons I would wonder, man, was that all right? Did that go okay? And what is that? Well, it's a couple things. That was insecurity, and that was pride. I wanted you guys to think well of what I was saying. See, when you fan your gift, when you fan the flame of your gift, you got to push aside yourself. You got to get past that. And I'm thankful that God got me past that. You know, yesterday I was thinking, Marsha's daughter asked me to get up and speak at the giant pig roast. And I was thinking, you know what? 15 years ago, that would have petrified me. But it didn't. God has developed that. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm the greatest preacher, because there are a lot more effective, powerful preachers out there in the world, but we all have to use our gifts, the measure that we've been given. We all have to step out in faith and use that. And the only way to fan it into flame is to use it, because Paul goes on to tell Timothy in that to be brave, to be courageous, to step out in faith, to not be afraid of suffering. So that's how we fan it into flame. So as we think about this building project in Israel, or among the people of Israel, it's to build a tabernacle and everything in it. What is our building project? Go and make disciples. That's the New Testament building project. go and make disciples. To build not a building, but to build God's church, which is people. To bring new people into the church, to encourage people, to draw people in. And I've given you in your bulletin an insert with a list of spiritual gifts. It's not necessarily a complete list, but there's a lot of great gifts on there. And not everybody in this church has every gift. You may only have one. But I think about some of these gifts here. The gift of hospitality. This is such an important gift because a hospitable person is welcoming and they make people feel comfortable when they come into the church family, or when they come into their home. That's such an important gift in the church. They're all important gifts in the church. Mercy. Somebody who just has compassion on people who are hurting. Giving. Generosity. As you go down the list. Helps. People who serve behind the scenes. People who you will never see standing up in front of this church talking, but who are so important. You also have down there the gift of administration. These are people that are really good with working with those little things. What are they called? Details. Ah. I'm so thankful for other people in this church who are better at details than I am, who are working behind the scenes to do a lot of these things. And we all have gifts that God has given to us. And you'll see a list here. Down towards the bottom, you see gifts that are called some of the more miraculous gifts, the gifts of healing. I will tell you something today. God still heals today. And there are people who have that spiritual gift. And you'll see the gift of tongues down there. And that's kind of a controversial one. You know, is it for today? Is it for yesterday? But here's what I would say to you. I see no reason why any and all of these gifts are still not active today. There are people in our church family today who speak in tongues. And if somebody comes and has the gift of interpretation, there could be a speaker and an interpretation. And here's what happens sometimes in churches. When someone comes and maybe they have one of these more miraculous gifts, the people in the church get freaked out and those people go to a Pentecostal church. That shouldn't be the case. It shouldn't be the case. We should all who have spiritual gifts be able to use our spiritual gifts in all of our churches. Because those gifts are given by God. And I want you to think now about our great building project, the building of God's church. Where do you fit into this? And it's not necessarily about, see, here's what our society teaches. You got to find your potential. You got to reach that level where you have that great high self-esteem and self-worth. You got to follow your dreams. I would take all of those statements and just go whoop, right out the window. I don't want to hear any of them. Here's the question to ask. How do you fit into God's plan? How can I be used to serve God in His great building project? And I will tell you, you're likely to feel fulfilled if you do that. It's likely to happen. But it doesn't matter. You're not chasing that feeling. You're asking, you know, I want to fit into God's plan. Where do I fit? Maybe it's a small role. Maybe it's a larger role. Maybe it's an upfront role. Maybe it's a behind-the-scenes role. We need all the roles filled. And we need God's Spirit to be at work and us to be able to recognize that. And finally, here's what I want to say. Some of you are sitting here and you're not sure what your spiritual gift is. Please come and talk to me. Let's work through that. Let's discover together what your gift is. Some of you have a gift that you're not using, and maybe you haven't been asked by the elders or the deacons or the people in this church. And here's what I would say. We want you to use your spiritual gifts in our church. We don't see everything. We don't know everyone's spiritual gift, although I would love to know everyone's spiritual gift. But come and talk to me if that's the case. If you have a gift that isn't being used, I want to know. We want to know. We want God's church to be built up. That's why spiritual gifts are given in the New Testament. So for the building, for the edifying of the church. And remember this. If you're a little nervous about stepping forward and using your gifts, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He will enable you to do it. He will carry you through. And then He gets the glory. And that's our goal. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gifts that You've given to each person in this room. I pray that, Lord, we would fan these gifts into flame by using these gifts, by serving You, by stepping out, even if it's not easy or comfortable. Lord, I pray that you'd give the leadership in this church the ability to discern different spiritual gifts so that we can put the right people in the right places. I thank you for each person that serves in ministry here. And I pray that, Lord, we would continue to bring honor and glory to you in your great building project. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.